All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 154 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli as rookie camps have begun. Well, really the rookie tournaments get going today. And then we are less than a week away from the NHL preseason almost beginning. Camps will officially get going on the ice next Thursday. Medicals on Wednesday. There's always the, I wonder if there's a player who won't pass his medical, if there's an existing injury, we'll find that out, Frank. But the past few days, you know what, a lot of the big names, they get together. You got the NHL going on. Matt Larkin from Daily Faceoff was talking to Nathan MacKinnon, and no surprise, MacKinnon's like, hey, my contract's not going to start in a single digit. I don't think that surprises anyone. But he did say, if I don't have a deal done before the start of the season, then we're going to shut off talks. I understand that. Do you believe that, Frank? Do you think they would go the whole season and not have any talks if there's not a deal done by October 12th?
I don't know if I believe it, but it's a smart thing to say. And I do understand what Nathan MacKinnon was saying to Matt Larkin. And you can read the story, as you said, on Daily Faceoff about the emotion that goes into managing that at the same time that you really should be focusing on playing. That's why a lot of players do it, because they know that they don't want to be a wreck the whole season if they're thinking about that. And then does it eat into your production? And that's a big consideration. I think especially for someone like Nathan MacKinnon, who's coming off of a deal where I think he's been embarrassed the whole time that he's been so underpaid. Like, he's so vastly outperformed it. And he actually mentioned it in the story, like, underpaid is not something you want to be associated with. And so players go through this all the time, whether it's Wayne Simmonds or, like, they don't all have to be of Nathan MacKinnon's stature, but players that made a lot less than they should have for a long period of time have a chip on their shoulder. And most of them, unfortunately, are never able to make it back, because by the time you actually get through that long-term contract, your game might have dipped a little bit and you don't get quite back to that level. Nathan MacKinnon, lucky enough for himself, is still at all-world status, and the Avs are coming off of the Stanley Cup, and he's probably going to be there for a long, long time. So he makes out pretty well in the deal. He's going to blast way past $100 million in career earnings. But not everyone is as fortunate, and I think that's something that he's owned a little bit, and he's mentioned it more than a few times over the years, that idea of being underpaid. He wants to solve that, put it in the rearview mirror, and just get back to being Nathan MacKinnon, the hockey player. And so until that happens, he's in this awkward sort of limbo stage.
It is one where, you know, because when MacKinnon signed the contract, his first year of the deal, he was still a 50-point player. And then he exploded up to 90 points and has become, you know, one of the dominant forwards in the NHL. And, you know, it's one where I think when he signed the deal, they maybe he didn't believe that he would be a 90-point guy, right?
Well, they I don't think they believed it. Why would you? Like, there was ample evidence to suggest that he was not a 90-point. Like, the first 4 years of his career high was 63, and it was in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. 63, 38, 52, 53. To then jump from 53 to 97, 99, 93, and 88. Like, who does that? Who has a 40-point jump and then sustains it? It's the rare super freak athlete that does it, and he's one of them.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, people have said, oh, he gave them a deal. Well, he didn't really give them a deal. He just turned out to outperform what the expectations was for both him and his camp. And I can understand that there's the players like, man, I got to recoup that, right? Like, a lot of people are like, oh, he's at least going to double his salary, get up to 12.6. And that's right. That might happen. It will be a fascinating one because he's still got 1 year left in Colorado. And so, like, I wonder if there's an argument to be made. Nathan MacKinnon, like, we see it in other sports lots, Frank, especially in basketball, where the star players are signing short-term deals all the time because their cap has continued to go up all the time.
Well, their max deal is 5.
Yeah. Well, that's the max term, right? But they have lots of guys who will sign 1 or 2 years. So they're ensuring, you know, LeBron James for how long has only signed short-term deals and he's making huge money. And I've always wondered, like, if Connor McDavid decided when his contract's done, I'm signing a 2-year deal, I'm getting whatever it is, $17 million. And if the cap keeps going up, well, in 2 years, I'm still going to be Connor McDavid. And now it's a mindset and it really hasn't come into the NHL, right? Like, I think the last really, you know, good player who signed a short-term deal was Marian Hossa, was it not? Remember, he signed the 1-year deal and then he cashed in. Now, that was when you had the 12-year monster deals, but you don't see it very often in the NHL. And I do wonder,
it's because the security's not the same.
Sure. But if
you're signing a 2-year, $100 million deal, it takes NHL players 7 or 8 years, the very best of them, to earn that same $100 million. It's not comparing apples to apples.
Well, yeah, for 100 mil, sure, but they still
do it. But that's what the bench players in the NBA are making what the top NHL stars are.
Yeah, some. You're right.
It's a totally different world. So to say, I'm going to take a short-term deal. Well, yeah, if you're making 45 schmil a year, like, it's not hard to say, like, oh, I only need 2 years of it to really feel like I can then take a chance and have our team win. And they probably had other years of crazy earnings first, a number of years at $25 million a year before they're at $250 million career earnings before they're even having the conversation.
Yeah. Well, McDavid's going to be over $100 million, right, when his contract's up. Once you've made $100 million, it's not really peanuts
for everyone else in the NBA.
For the NBA. But in the real world, man.
But that's what you're comparing it to.
No, I'm comparing the risk factor. Sure, there's the money there, but which NBA player signed a short-term deal and then had a career-ending injury? Right? Like, we talk way too much about the risk of career injuries because it's such, just play the odds, you bet. Play the odds.
Insure yourself? Like,
yeah. Well, you could insure yourself, but if your goal is to maximize things, that's a good way to maximize it if you want to.
Okay, so since you brought up McDavid, and McDavid's at 12.5 for a deal that was signed in 2017, if you had to guess, hearing MacKinnon say that it will be a fair deal, I don't know what the definition of fair is in this case, because he is an unbelievable player. Is he higher or lower than McDavid? Cap hit wise.
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance he'll come in higher. I think that, you know what, it's been a few years and no player has increased. Like, Sidney Crosby was the best player in the league for a while. He was not always the highest paid, right?
Right.
So even on his own team, if Jenny Malkin had a higher cap hit. So I think Nathan MacKinnon.
And there's a lot of Sid in MacKinnon.
Yeah, fair, right? Although Sid will tell you, his contract at the time, had he known how the landscape was going to drastically change, he probably doesn't sign that long-term of a deal.
Well, I can tell you right now, Sidney Crosby does not like his contract.
Yeah. So I get it.
So look at his contract, and look, he's made an absolute killing in his career. Sidney Crosby career earnings, $138 million. But look at these last 3 years of the contract. His cap hit is 8.7, but this is the first year that he starts earning $3 million. And a little story. Last year, at some point last summer, so summer of 2021, there was a conversation, I believe, between the Penguins and their front office and the NHL, or Sidney Crosby's representatives with the NHL. Is there any chance we could put in a clause to be able to rewrite contracts? I don't think he's happy earning where he's at, because I don't know that when he signed the deal, 12 years, $104 million back in 2012, coming off of all those concussions, that I don't know that he thought he was going to make it here.
Yeah, no, it's totally fair.
So now here he is still, you know, his game has peaked a little bit, but now he's way down at $3 million a year.
Hey, Frank, you know what? This is the poster boy for why my idea, the NHLPA, should have no maximum. You said the NBA's max five-year term? That's what the NHL should have. Well, after your second contract. I'd put it in. It would be very easy. It's going to benefit the players for this exact reason, because the best guys are going to get paid all the time. They're still for 5 years. Crosby would have signed that for 5 years, right, at the time. People would have said, wow, that's a really good contract, right? Maybe his cap hit would have been slightly higher, but then he would have been able to negotiate a lot earlier, right? Even Nathan McKinnon, 8 years, if 8 to 5. Think about Nate McKinnon if his contract had expired 2 years ago, right? Like, it's a big difference. It benefits the players, and also benefits the teams, because then the guys who sign the long-term deals who don't perform well, thankfully, they're 3 years shorter. They're out of that deal. It actually would benefit both sides. And it's something that in the next CBA, if there was one point that both sides should want in, that's the one.
Just to be fair, this is McKinnon's second contract. So that would be exempted from what you're saying.
Yeah, you said exactly.
After their second contract.
Yeah, he could do it. You're right. 100%. But some players won't. Like, look at Matthews, Kane, lots of those guys' second contract was only 5 years, right? Like, a lot of people try to say, oh, Austin Matthews isn't committed to Toronto. Or maybe Austin Matthews and his camp are just ahead of the curve. He's going to sign his extension, right? He's going to sign his extension before Connor McDavid signs his. And I'm sure when you look at those things, whatever Matthews signs for, and he's making, what, 11-6 now? Guy scored 60 goals. He's got a few years left on his contract. He'll probably score 50 a few more times, I would think. Well, he's going to get a massive boost even from 11-6. And so McDavid's contract in 4 years, Frank, I have no idea what it's going to look like. It'll depend on what the other contracts are. And then it's also going to depend on, well, where does he sign, right? Because now I'm not saying he's going to want to leave Edmonton, but anytime you're a potential UFA, that's a conversation that they'll have. And I think it comes down to, if he's won, I think it's different. If he hasn't won, his AAV, instead of being 17, he might say, well, I want 15 because I want to win. And in right. the NHL, depth really matters to the elite players. That's how you win.
Well, the cap is so ridiculously tight that you have to spread it around properly.
Yes.
But and the funny thing about Matthews and where he ends up, I believe, just for the record, and I'm saying this now way before he even gets to the ability to renegotiate next summer, I think he's a Leaf for life. I think he absolutely loves every facet of his life in Toronto. And the funny thing, you said ahead of the curve, they certainly were in terms of how they structured this. You could make the argument, by the way, from the Leafs' perspective, that they should have pushed, even if it meant going to 13 or whatever, yes, to get to 8 years, because now it's going to hurt them. But fortunately for them, and fortunately for Matthews, and by the way, the Leafs probably hurt by this flat cap in the pandemic more so than any other team. You know, I think we'd be looking a lot differently at the John Tavares contract right now had there not been a flat cap, had it continued to increase 4, 3, 5% every year. Now we're in a spot where the Tavares contract hurts, but Matthews somehow is timing it absolutely perfectly, likely coming out of the pandemic 2024, when the cap is probably going to increase $8 to $10 million.
Well, you think from 24 to 26, Frank, Austin Matthews gets a deal. Then the next year, Leon Draisaitl's new deal kicks in. And then the following year, Connor McDavid. And some would say those are the three best forwards in the NHL.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, totally fair.
Yeah. So
it's massive, though. It's a huge, like, Austin Matthews is going to maximize his career earnings, I think, by timing it appropriately.
Okay.
He got a big second deal and now is going to get a massive third deal.
Oh, 100%. And yes, he did get a massive first year deal and it was only 5 years. So, mm-hmm. 5 year deals. I'm just saying, agents, GMs, think about it. It's rarely going to, shorter is never going to hurt you. And for the best players, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to benefit them. Right, like Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane, those guys are the prime examples. They didn't sign 8 year deals out of their on their second contract. They signed 5. Kane might have been 6. I have to look it back up. I thought it was 5. And I think even Sidney Crosby did too, didn't he? I think his second year, because then he signed his 3rd year deal. I have to double check that one too. But guys have done it, and I think it doesn't hurt them when you're an elite player, Frank.
Crosby went entry level 5 years, yeah. Then 12 years.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So he'll be, that'll be,
and by the way, like
20 years when his deal's done. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm not knocking him at all. Like, I understand where he's at, but don't forget the first part of that $104 million deal. Like, you were collecting 12 a year for the first 3. Like, I know it hurts to be getting 3 now, but you did collect it on the front end.
It's true. And you know what? Let's be honest, Frank, if his investments are good, the return he's making on sure his investments, if it's significant, I think he'll be doing all right.
He'll definitely be fine.
Now I want to have a little fun thing. It's going to be a new thing. We're going to bring in, it's one or the other, a new segment we're going to have. And so, Frank, I'm going to tell you, over the next 5 years, do you want Jonathan Huberdeau or Johnny Gaudreau, and why?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to take Jonathan Huberdeau. And my reasoning for that is I think he has every bit as much creativity and the distributor part of his game is equally as good to Johnny Gaudreau. I think with the way Huberdeau plays and using his vision, like, he's never been a burner. Like, he's never been one of those guys super fast. And I think that's going to age really gracefully, I think. And not to say Johnny Gaudreau won't. Like, honestly, I think Johnny's in one of those spots, not all that different than Patrick Kane, where he could be a really productive player to late in his career. I just don't think we're going to see as big of a drop off, because the big thing with Gaudreau's size, and he's been really durable in his career, is if that skating slides just a little bit, it's been able to get him out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Huberdeau, given the equal talent and skill set and the size, that's the guy that I'd take. And by the way, you said 5 years. Like, I'm taking the first year of Huberto this year at 5.9, counting as one of those 5 years every day of the week.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, he definitely has the better cap hit for the first year of that deal. But then after that, so, you know, 80% of those 5 years, it's going to be the same. And you look at it over the last 5 years, not much has separated Huberto and Gaudreau, right? Over 5 years, they're eighth and ninth in league scoring combined in those 5 years. And Huberto has 415 points. Gaudreau has 405. Gaudreau has seven more goals, 137. Huberto is 130. Huberto has a few more assists. Now, where there's a little bit of separation, Gaudreau is more of a shooter, right? He had 1,026 shots, I think it was, and 900 and change for Huberto, about 100 difference in shots. The thing that I look at, neither one, I know Gaudreau did score 40 this year, but neither one's really considered like a shooter first. I would agree with you. They're both distributors. Johnny Gaudreau, the advantage I think he has over the next few years is he's likely playing with Patrick Laine, who's a legit shooter, mm-hmm. right? And when you have guys like, when you have what like a real shooter, because, you know, there's guys who score 40, Frank, who aren't considered shooters. Patrick Laine is a shooter. And Matthew Tkachuk, I don't know if I put him in the same shooter category, right? Same with Elias Lindholm. Really solid players, probably better maybe all around in their definitely Lindholm and defensive game and stuff. But having a pure shooter, we saw it for a short time, you know, like Adam Oates. When you put a pure shooter with Adam Oates, like, guys went off the charts. Brett Hall, he's talked about it, right? You know, you've seen it in a Backstrom with Ovechkin, like a legit shooter when you have a great passer. And I think Johnny Gaudreau's point totals in Columbus for the next 5 years, because of who he's going to play with, I think that's going to be the one advantage between the two of them. And I think because they're basically the same age, right? Huberto might be a year older. So I'm not sure age is like, I don't think they're going to age out. I can't remember the last top player who fell off a cliff in their early 30s, right? Mm-hmm. In the NHL. I'm sure maybe it's happened. I guess maybe Ben, right? Would Ben be that guy who kind of fell off really fast? But it doesn't happen very often, right? So I look at Johnny Gaudreau over the next 5 years. I'm going to take him. I know that Huberto has outperformed in the previous five by 10 points, which, you know, isn't
big
much.
Deal. Right.
But now the last 3 years, Huberto does have the advantage, right? I think he's 32 points over the last 3 years. Gaudreau didn't have a great season a few years ago. That was a little bit of an anomaly for him. Whereas Huberto's been ultra consistent. He's probably been more consistent offensively in the last 3 years. But now you change teams. And I think Johnny Gaudreau, like, he chose the team he wanted to go to. Huberto, yeah, he's got to burr up his, you know what, he's going to want to prove everybody. But I think it's different situations. So I'm going to actually take Johnny over the next 5 years. But it's the reason I picked those two, A, they were in the conversation this summer for moving teams.
Very
but
close.
Also, they've been very close for 5 years.
Yeah. So let me take this conversation a step further. I'm working on a story, a project for Daily Faceoff, and I'm trying to separate the top players in the league into different groups by skill set and calling it archetypes. I have a category in our archetype project that's franchise players. And I only have 17 of them in the entire NHL, three goalies, three defensemen, and 11 forwards. Are either Johnny Gaudreau or Jonathan Huberto franchise players? My answer is no.
That's a really good question. I think at times analysis, it's almost like people, oh, if he's not a franchise player, well, that's a real slap to the face and I don't want to say it. Well, franchise players should be a rare category, Frank. And when I look at Gaudreau, it's hard, unless you're Patrick Kane, it's really hard to be a franchise player as a winger, right? You got Ovechkin, who's a freak, right? 235 pounds, hits and scores and power forward, right? And Patrick Kane for the longest time has been unreal. But lots of your franchise guys are centers just because they can impact the game in more ways. So I think right off the bat, it's hard because they're wingers.
I have five wingers out of the 17 that are franchise players.
Currently in the NHL.
You want to guess them?
Well, Ovechkin, Kane, yes. would be the first two.
And Brad by the Marsh. Way, those guys are toward the bottom of my ranking.
Yeah,
no, Ovechkin is the very last franchise player. And I really toyed with the idea, like, is he still a franchise player? And I think when you're hitting 50 goals and 90 points and you've done it for so long that, yes, you are.
Yeah, 100%. You have to. Brad Marchand?
Nope.
Other wingers. Panarin?
Nope.
Honestly, for wingers, man, like I'm
Kirill guessing. Kaprizov.
Oh yeah, okay, man. Yeah.
Nikita Kucherov.
Oh yeah, good one.
And Matthew Tkachuk.
No, I wouldn't have him.
Unicorn.
Yeah.
He's an absolute unicorn. With his size, the way that he plays, his production, quite frankly, he's a franchise player. There are so few players like him. He's Brendan Shanahan of 20 years ago, but with a better skill set.
Yeah.
And he's 24.
No, he's younger.
And sure. And frankly, he's being paid like a franchise player. Because you think about the teams in Tampa and in Florida. Players don't make that type of money because of the tax situation. They haven't needed to be paid that much. And he's now being paid like one. He's making the same cake as Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah. And because I look at, yeah, see, I wouldn't have Tkachuk in. I think Tkachuk's a really good player. I don't see him as a franchise player. He's never really carried his team big time. Like I look at Panarin, I look at his production. Panarin's got what over the last 3 years, 50 more points, and he's played 20 fewer games. Right? Like I think the Breadman he's a pretty dynamic player.
I have Panarin as the number one distributor in the league.
Best passer ahead of Draisaitl? Ooh, I don't know if I'd agree.
But Draisaitl's in the franchise bucket.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, I have Panarin as the number one distributor outside of the franchise.
So he was the top guy in all of yours who wasn't a franchise player. And you don't have
the
Mitch
top
Marner.
Guy in that bucket. I have different categories: shooter, power forward, net front score, pressure players. It's a whole project.
Because is
and
Brad
I'm giving
Marchand,
you a sneak peek. I really thought about Brad Marchand as a franchise player. I thought there's a possibility that he should be there.
Like he doesn't have the size of Tkachuk, but he's produced more lately. He's got an agitating side for sure, like Tkachuk has. Now Tkachuk draws more penalties, of course, but I don't know Tkachuk. I just wouldn't have him. I like it though. It's a good debate. I wouldn't have Tkachuk in. So who are the six centers you had? I'm assuming. Well, the easy ones are McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthews, McKinnon, Crosby, and who am I missing?
You're only missing one more.
Barkov?
Correct.
Yeah.
That was the easy. In some ways, the franchise category is the easiest one to do because all you have to do is draw a line at some point. Can you guess my three defensemen and three goalies?
Well, Hedman for sure, Makar, and Roman Josi.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. I did really struggle with Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah.
And Charlie McAvoy, for that matter, are they franchise players? And for me, with Heiskanen, like I love everything that he does. It's so many things that he does are elite. It's just he doesn't have the point production, Jay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah,
that's what separates him. And like from all these other guys, why are they doing it and you're not? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, no, it has to be. Now I wonder, like, where did Adam Fox come in for you?
He wasn't really much in the conversation.
Okay. And then your goaltenders are Vasilevsky, Shesterkin.
This last one's going to surprise you.
UC Saros?
Nope. I thought long and hard about Saros. Ilya Sorokin.
Buddy. Yeah, no one talks about him, and the Islanders were such a disappointment last year, but he's a heck of a goalie. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, we talk about him all the time. He thinks he easily could win the Vezina this year. He's
Ilya really good. Versus Igor, what a treat in New York to
all
see those two guys franchise staples for the next decade.
That triangle. Like those fans, if you're a fan of goaltending, you had Brodeur and Lundqvist, right? The Devils and the Rangers for a long time, and now you're going Shesterkin. Like the Rangers to go from Lundqvist and not really have a long gap before getting another franchise goalie, like that's pretty rare. Like you don't see that very often for a franchise. And
what's really most impressive about that is these two teams targeted these guys a long time ago.
Yeah,
like their development path to get here. Sorokin's already 27 and it was drafted in 2014. Shesterkin, like I can remember doing our first core four exercises. They were both drafted in the same year. Shesterkin was in the fourth round. Sorokin was in the third round. And I can remember 2016, I was working on this core four project with Craig Button at TSN. And we went through and had the top four players or prospects in each organization
under
24. And he was saying then, he's like, Shesterkin and Sorokin, these guys are the real deal. This is 2016, a long time before they ever got close to the NHL. And these guys were playing in Russia till 2020.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Just another prime example of, you know, you say, oh, he's 27. Well, any NHL players, like there's the McDavids and the Matthews who come in as teenagers and they're really good right away. But man, there's so many players, Frank, at different positions who don't really find their, like you look at the Sedins' first 5 years in the league, you know, even Victor Hedman, go back and look at Victor Hedman's first year. He was a solid player, but not close to the dominant defenseman he became. Right. You know, Roman Josi, same thing. It takes time for even a lot of the elite guys to really dominate in the toughest league in the world. And for goaltenders, there's the Carey Prices and Marc-Andre Fleury's and, you know, Vasilevsky even to an extent. But most guys like hitting your peak at or getting into it. And all of a sudden at 25 and 6 and 7, that's actually the norm for goaltenders. And I'm not sure. I know there was a little bit of a, wow, they're going to go younger, but we've still yet to see that consistently where you have a vast array of under 25 goalies really dominating in the NHL.
And the ones that did come in and look like they were going to have flashes, like a Carter Hart, for instance, like he's had a couple years where he's gone the other way. Like Carter Hart is still only 24, but this is this upcoming year will be his fifth NHL season.
Yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood. People thought a few years ago he was, oh, this guy's going to be right up there. It doesn't.
But think about, to illustrate your point, like look at Thatcher Demko. Yep. He was thought of as the longest time as, you know, the top young goalie. He's 26 now.
Speaking of Demko, I'm going to say it right now, Frank. Top goalie in the West this year will be Thatcher Demko.
Top goalie in the West. I would buy that.
Yeah.
If we were doing a buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, his competition is
Yaremchuk in a ditch or something today? Where is Yaremchuk?
Yaremchuk is in Buffalo. He's going to the Bills game and some Jays games.
Oh, geez, classic.
He's living the life.
If he doesn't crash through a table, he's fined. I think that's, if you go to Buffalo, you got to crash through a table, don't you?
Aren't they trying to outlaw that?
Well, if they are, really?
I thought it was like a big thing. Like people were actually getting hurt, jumping off of RVs into tables that were not collapsing.
No. Like I would just ask him, just do it off like the, you know, the flatbed of your truck. He doesn't have to go to the top of a, come on, it's your Yaremchuk. He can't go off the top of a trailer. Just do it off the flatbed, man. Right.
Such a skinny prick. I don't know if he's going, if he's collapsing the table off of a flatbed.
Well, that's what maybe saw through it a little bit. WWE have it. So, you know, it's going to go down.
To answer your point, Demko,
yeah,
I'll buy it, but his competition, I think you're going to see a big bounce back year from Hellebuck, and obviously Saros is right there.
Yeah,
and Markstrom was damn good last year.
Oh, Markstrom, you know what? He was really good in the regular season. Obviously, you know, he got McDavid and Draisaitl in the second round of the playoffs, but. He had a really solid year. The Flames, what were they? The best team in the league in 5-on-5 goals against, right? Like, and a lot of that's your goaltending. So I think he'll be good. But I think Thatcher Demko, and I'm saying it right now, Frank, I know that officially training camp is, I think the Vancouver Canucks are making the playoffs. I've done a lot of looking at their numbers from last year. And usually when you're a team, 5-on-5 goals against is one of the most consistent indicators of team success and making to the playoffs. And the Vancouver Canucks were third in the NHL last year at 5-on-5 goals against and missed the playoffs. Like, it's a massive outlier. Their goaltender's good. I think their team defense overall is actually better than things. Like, they stunk bad on the penalty kill. That crushed them, right? And so penalty kill is the one thing that can change rather quickly. Power play is the top ones, usually stay the same for a long time. Penalty kills will go up and down a little bit, and Vancouver bounces back there. I'm saying it right now. Unless there's like significant injuries, Canucks, I think, are making the playoffs.
I think it's easy to say that, and I'm not knocking you, but give me your eight teams. Like, that's so you got to do the math then of who in the Central is out and who in the Pacific, frankly, is out.
Well,
I don't think Calgary, Edmonton, or LA are going anywhere.
No, I would agree. I think it's going to be 4-4 this year. I just think Vancouver takes out the fifth team in the Central.
So is it Nashville or Dallas? Because Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis were a clear cut above Dallas and Nashville.
Yeah.
So which one is it?
I think the Nashville Predators. They had a lot of things go incredibly well for them last year, and I think there's a little bit of, they'll still be competitive, Frank. They're not, mm-hmm. you're going to miss the playoffs by 2 or 3 points, but sorry, Preds fans, but I think it's going to be them.
Okay.
Or, that's.
So then you're saying Vegas is out.
Yeah. I got a lot of questions about their goaltending mm-hmm. and fair. They don't have much depth on the blue line. Right. And Frank, you know me, I love looking at numbers. When you look at just the average health of defense corps, unless they're going to, drink from the water bottles of the Calgary Flames and Pittsburgh and Washington who were real outliers last year by having six D-men playing 70 plus games. That's a huge advantage. You get into any sort of defense trouble in Vegas and their goaltending, I just don't see how it happens. You've talked about it a lot. The other thing, Frank, like, I wonder about the psyche and culture of that organization right now too.
And I think that's a real question. I'm not sold on Vancouver yet. I need to maybe do a deeper dive. I think they're very close. I just don't know as well as they played in the last 56 games of the season. Are they that good? Because they played at 100 and some point pace over that stretch, I think.
Yeah.
Are they that good?
And Dallas is another one that's got it. Like, they've got Heskanen, Jake Oettinger. Obviously, his 7 games in the playoffs was out of this world. But look at us, like, we talked about goaltenders, right? Like, it's the toughest position to, Vasilevsky and those guys are unicorns who are great year in and year out, right? And you look at Shesterkin's contract, Sorokin's contract, now Ottinger's, they're still, they don't get the big second deal very often, right? There's a lot of uncertainty around goaltenders still as to, where they're going to be. Whereas if you're a productive forward, usually you're going to get your money. Look at teams. Oh, you had one good year at 75 points as a forward. We're pretty confident now you've broken out, Jordan Kyrou. We're giving you $8 million, right?
I don't think this is that bold of a prediction.
No. I'm not saying
Price,
it either.
I'm saying I think Carey Price is the last $10 million goalie for a long time.
I could probably agree with you on that for sure, right? But even like look at Ottinger's contract and compare it to Robert Thomas and Norris.
Oh, I've been saying it forever. Like, goalies, like, first off, in some ways, goalies on the second deal are criminally underpaid. Some of them, like Shesterkin, you could make the argument, and he went out and did it. Yep. And now that contract is an absolute bargoon for the next few years for the New York Rangers, and they got to make hay because of it, because they know on the back end they're going to have to pay him. These are a critical few years in the New York Rangers window. All of a sudden, it goes from this team that is rebuilding to a team that's now in absolute go mode.
Well, I'm actually, I'm going to change my opinion. I think Shesterkin in 2 years will be a $10 million goalie. Cap's going up significant. That guy might have 2 Vezinas, maybe 3 by then.
I don't know. I don't know that teams are there. There's so few guys. He may be in that category, and he is in the franchise category of the archetypes that we're talking about, but Vasilevsky's at 9.5, and I know part of that's because of Florida and the tax rate, but still, teams are very weary of paying goalies that much.
Although Bobrovsky did get 10 mil in the Florida tax rate, right? Like those two guys were still at the time of their contracts, top three of their positions.
So. That's one of the worst contracts the sport has ever seen. Sergei Bobrovsky. honestly, partly because it didn't have to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
There was no one bidding against them that was willing to pay that much. And Florida, for whatever reason, just said, we're in. Yeah. And then drafted Spencer Knight before, a couple weeks before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, makes no sense. One of the worst contracts ever.
So I want to ask Frank, how many levels do you have in your upcoming rankings for players? So you have franchise. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Franchise, pressure players, distributor, shooter, power forward, net front scorer, puck moving D, and shutdown D.
Hmm. Interesting.
And if you're wondering what pressure is, it's creates pressure and relentlessly pursues and retrieves pucks at both ends of the ice, a player good on the walls and a general pain in the ass to play against. You could also rename it retriever, or I haven't been able to find the right name for it, but I think I'm going to call it a pressure player.
Pressure player. All right. I know exactly who.
Think your Selke guys. Like think your Bergerons, Kopitars, O'Reilly, Cirelli, Lindholm, Couturier, Stahl, Hyman, all that whole group.
Hey, speaking of, you just brought up the name that I want to talk about. What about Ryan O'Reilly? We talk a lot about Nathan MacKinnon. Ryan O'Reilly is a UFA at the end of the year. The Blues have just upped, you know, Thomas and Kyra. They're kind of the future guys. They're getting their big deals. Where do the Blues and Ryan O'Reilly going? There hasn't been any talk about their contract extension. Is he similar to all the talk about JT Miller, who ultimately re-signed in Vancouver? And, you know, is Riley in a similar boat, or do you think there's a chance Riley's going free agency?
Well, there's a difference between O'Reilly and Miller in that, and anyone else that we've just talked about, is that he's older. He's already mm-hmm. 31. He turns 32 in February.
Okay, he's Nazem Kadri, right? Probably a better version. Kadri's 32 when his new deal kicks in.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I think age matters less with Ryan O'Reilly than it would for most.
Okay. Why?
Go to his dad's Twitter feed and watch his training. His dad's name is Brian O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
And his username is @CoachBry1. Ryan O'Reilly does things that I've never seen a hockey player do. His training is so unique. Like, watch some of the videos. He's just walking on a balance beam with like a glove and stick and doing like all these different stretches. I just think he's going to age really, really well.
Okay. Right.
But I can understand why the team is like, well, how long of a term are we giving this guy? Like, are we mm-hmm. taking him to 38, 39? And then what's the AAV? Because not only is he productive, but he's the consummate 200-foot player that
100%.
It's really difficult. It's expensive is what it is.
Well, that's why I look at the Blues, and you know, I'm very intrigued to see what happens there. Like, I think ultimately, like you bring this, you're a huge contributor on that Stanley Cup, and you're only a few years removed from that. You know what? He's a great personality in the room. He's well liked, good leader. You know, dedicated, all the things. Still a good contributor on the ice. And so there's only so much money to go around. Now they are one. Can they squeeze it for 1 year? Right. That's going to be the thing, because as you mentioned, Frank, we got 2 years and the cap's bumping up significantly. And they've got their defensemen are all under contract, their top guys. Now they got their two young guys under contract. Tarasenko, he's probably walking, so there's 7.5. But that basically already went to one of Kyrou or Thomas. But I'm just interested about that Ryan O'Reilly. And, you know, he's a player no one's really talked about as far as a free agent and what his contract's going to be. Because
yeah.
I'd probably put him – I think he's a better player than Nazem Kadri consistently.
I think 100% he is. Like, I think I've said this a long time, and it's not to knock Naz at all, but Naz is a number two center.
Yep, that's fair.
Really Ryan O'Reilly one. Is a one.
Yeah, that's fair.
And what I really like about what the Blues have done this summer, getting Thomas and Kyrou locked up, they've had an unbelievable few years. It's only been a short time since they won the Stanley Cup in 2019, but they've actually managed to turn over their entire core. Because yes, those guys were around Kyrou and Thomas, but they were bottom of the lineup players. Yeah. And so now they've elevated their game. They're 23 and 24. And now the Blues have bought all of the best years of those players, given their age. And those players are now, with respect to Ryan O'Reilly, more or less driving that team. And so they've managed to do this on the fly while remaining competitive the entire time because of guys like O'Reilly and Tarasenko, even though he was hurt for a chunk of it, and Braden Schenn. But they found other pieces along the way, like a Pavel Buchnevich, what a trade that was, to really stay in the mix. And so there was never a fall off. They've been this sort of consistent 100-point team for a while, that their competitive window is huge. It extends a long time now because of the way that they've been able to manage it.
Yeah, no. You know, I think some might question the only contract, due to the timing and everything else, you might question was the Falk contract, right? Because I wonder if they didn't do that, if they would have been able to get Petrangelo done. Maybe they never would have, but because that's the one guy I think they probably would have liked to have keep.
Been a little overly ambitious on the back end. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Like, I think the Nick Leddy term is going to hurt. The Marco Scandella one, I never understood. Like, why did you give him that term right away? Like, he was basically on waivers, went from the Sabres to the Habs, to then comes to the Blues and is signed before the season ends, a 4-year deal at 3-2. And you're like, why'd you do that?
Yeah. Well, I think their organization, like when they won, their defense core was so good. And I think they understand the importance of the D core, but you're right. They might have overvalued some of the guys. Like they retooled their blue line, but they definitely downgraded. And that's hard because Jay Bouwmeester, Petrangelo, like they're so big and mobile. Like those guys are kind of unicorns. So it's hard to go out and say, oh, let's find the next one, right? They already had Parayko. So it's kind of hard to find that mobile and effective a big D-man. And Falk and Krug are good, but I don't put them in the category of Bouwmeester and Petrangelo.
I'll tell you who's going to have a huge season this year. It's a pivotal year, is Scott Perunovic. Keep an eye on him on the Blues blue line. Fantastically talented player. On the back end, north of a point per game in the AHL, which is hard to do. Looked pretty good for the Blues in the playoffs in their short series, but he's consistently been hurt. And Doug Armstrong had a great quote on Thursday to Jeremy Rutherford about Perunovic. And he said, he's got to prove he can stay healthy. That's the main thing. Like with football, you can't make the club from the tub.
100%, man.
That was a great quote.
The best ability is dependability, for sure. Now, if he makes it, so that means Mikkola and Bortuzzo aren't in their top six? Because they got depth there with Falk and Krug and Parayko and Leddy and Scandella. That's an interesting one. They've got a lot of depth on their blue line in St. Louis. There's no question.
Well, part of it's expensive depth, right?
Oh, like
they're
going
to probably need to move one or two of those guys if Perunovic is clawing out a spot, which he should. Mm-hmm. So that gives an opportunity to another team, potentially, if they can make it work cap-wise, to pick up a body.
Well, one
and I know teams have been doing that work. Like the last few weeks, teams have been doing a lot of waiver wire work, like who's making teams and who isn't, who might we be able to get?
Yeah, for sure. Frank, we got some great guests lined up coming up, as we're going to have some previews every Monday. We get back in our normal rotation. We'll have guests on Monday, and we'll fire it around on Friday. And so lots of good topics on the Blues. Huberto or Goudreau, I'm curious. Let us know on Twitter, @JasonGregor, @FrankCeravalli, @TheDFORundown. If you got for 5 years, who are you taking, Huberdeau or Goudreau? Let us know. Have a great weekend. And when we come back next week, we are going to have one of the all-time character veteran coaches in the National Hockey League joining us, and also get into training camp talk, because a week today, it'll be day two of training camp and a few days away from preseason hockey, which
buckle up,
Frank. And one other rule, speaking of five, I would love a cap on the amount of preseason games teams play too, but that's just me. We'll get into that another day. Have a good one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful, because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.